Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, everybody. Good to see you all today. Welcome those of you that are joining us from home, wherever you're joining us from on the broadcast, and those of you that are here in the house. It's so wonderful to see you today. On your seats today, if you're here, you'll see invitations and prayer cards as we prepare ourselves for Easter. Next weekend is the beginning of Holy Week. So it all kicks off on Palm Sunday. We want to encourage you to be praying for those that you plan to invite on Easter. If you're joining us online, please make the best of our invitations on social media. We want to see this place filled to capacity with people and people joining us from all around the world as we celebrate Easter Sunday together. There's a prayer card that has five spots for you to put the names of five people, friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, that you're praying for and that you plan to invite. And then take at least five invitations that you can put into the hands of those five people that you're praying for. During the week, you can swing by the office. There's more invitations available. And so make the best of it. This is your part. This is one of the best opportunities, Easter weekend and the beginning of Holy Week with Palm Sunday. These are great opportunities for people to say yes to the invitation that you've been giving them perhaps for some time now. So it's going to be fantastic. We're so excited. You know, I was thinking the other day, have you ever started a project that seems really simple at the beginning, right? It's like, you know what, this should be no problem at all, what I got to accomplish today. And maybe it's going to take me 20 minutes to bang out. I'm going to take care of this in short order. But then 3 hours later, like, you're surrounded by tools and pieces, and you wonder how something that seemed so simple has now become so complicated. Well, I've had many of those moments in my life, especially when I buy anything from IKEA. For those of you that feel my pain, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you first open the box, it seems very manageable. A few pieces, and a little Allen key, pictorial instructions. How hard can this be? And halfway through the project, you begin to think to yourself, this is not becoming furniture, this is becoming firewood. And then you start to see pieces that you're pretty sure are critical to the project being finished that are now left over. And so you start to get a little bit concerned, right? I'm sure these screws were meant to go somewhere that will hold this whole thing together. But if you stick to the process, if you stay with it, eventually something begins to take shape. And suddenly you realize, oh, that's what this was supposed to be. Picture on the box starts to look like the piece of furniture that's in front of you. I don't know about you, but sometimes following Jesus feels a bit like that to me, because we oftentimes will evaluate our lives halfway through the process, and you'll be like, what's happening here? Is it supposed to be like this? Is this what it's supposed to look like? But you know what? The book of Ephesians reminds us that God sees something bigger, much bigger. And so today, as we bring our series to a close, we want to do a little flyover of where we come from in this study and to apply these principles to our lives now. They weren't just written for the Ephesian church or for the churches that were in that area, in Asia Minor, and all through that region. It's still applicable to us today and incredibly relevant. You know, in our series foundational verse, the Apostle Paul writes this. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we are God's workmanship. We are his handiwork. We are all a work in progress. Nobody needs to remind us of that. We recognize that. But Paul encourages us throughout this book that we were created in Christ Jesus, his masterpiece in the making. But in order to make it all work, in order to look like the instructions reflect. In order to walk in that order, we must understand that he has to be at work in our lives every day, in the things that we say, in the things that we do. And you know what? God is not surprised at all by the process of shaping your life. God is still working within us. But what's he doing? So I want to give you three things today that we can see as we look over this whole book that God is doing in our lives. The first thing is that God sees what you're becoming. You know, that word workmanship here in chapter 2, verse 10 means that something is being crafted or intentionally formed. Paul is trying to communicate to the church something that is deeply important. Number one, your life is not random, and your life is God's work. But what's interesting about Ephesians is that Paul begins the letter not by talking about our behavior, but by reminding us of our identity in him. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5 says this. It says, "For he chose us in him before the creation or the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. And in love, he predestined," or he called us, "for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will." That means that before you ever struggled, before you ever doubted, before you ever had questions about your faith, God had already set his love on you. And Paul continues in verse 7 and says, "In him we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." So before Paul talks about what we do, he reminds us who we are. We are chosen. We are redeemed. We are adopted. And then he says, "You are God's workmanship." Now, the truth is, many of us, sadly, define ourselves by our failures. We replay the moments that we regret over and over and over again. We tend to focus on the parts of our lives that still seemed unfinished. It's apparent, not only to us, but to others. But God sees your life through a much different lens. And it's through that lens that we need to start seeing ourselves the way that God sees us. He sees what he is creating. Now, to everyone else, man, it may look like a jumble of shapes and colors. But to the master painter, to the master himself, he sees what it is becoming. You know, there's a beautifully designed church in Barcelona, Spain, that Susan and I had the opportunity to visit a few years back, called the Sagrada Familia. And it's still, believe it or not, it's still unfinished. More than 140 years after the work began, it's been under construction for more than a century, longer than most people have lived their life. And the architect, Antoni Gaudí, knew he would never see this work completed in his lifetime. But he and teams of people over the years worked faithfully anyways. It's one of the most famous unfinished masterpieces in the world. And today, people from all over the world are inspired by what was built and is continuing to be built. And knowing that it's not finished, it's incredible to consider how much manpower, how much creativity, how much craftsmanship and excellence has gone into it. Because when you look at it and even see these pictures, it's incredible. It's beyond comprehension. I had no idea when Susan said, "Hey, we should go and check out this church, something that I'd love to see." I was hesitant, didn't know if I wanted to make the trip there, you know, with all the other things on our schedule, but I am so, so glad we did. It was absolutely amazing. And you know what? I believe it's also a wonderful picture of the Christian life. We are God's workmanship, still being shaped, still being formed, not abandoned in the middle of the project. He sees what we're becoming. And this picture, it powerfully illustrates our series foundational verse found in Ephesians 2:10. And it reinforces the idea that God isn't discouraged by unfinished work, because he's the one who's doing the work. Now, later in chapter 1, Paul prays this prayer for the church. Ephesians 1:18 says, "I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light," or that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, "so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, you and I, who are his rich and glorious inheritance." In other words, Paul is praying for believers that they would begin to see themselves as God sees them. And that's something that we need to remind ourselves of on a daily basis through his lens, because when you understand that you have this identity in Christ, everything begins to change. And it's that lens that we need to keep going back to. So that when you open this book, when you look through God's lens, you see who he's called you to be. And that picture is very different than how we see ourselves. Now, the second thing that God is doing powerfully in our lives is God shapes us through purpose. Now, if Ephesians 1 talks about identity, then chapter 2 talks about transformation. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Now, that's a pretty strong description. But Paul is reminding believers where they started. And then he continues in verse 4 through 5 saying this. He says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved." That's the miracle of salvation. God brings life where there was once spiritual death. And then Paul explains something very, very important through verses 8 and 9, when he says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one could boast." So spiritual transformation doesn't begin with our own human effort. It begins with God's grace. But his grace doesn't just forgive us. His grace actually shapes us. It molds us. And later Paul explains how the Holy Spirit gets involved in this process by working in our lives every day. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16 says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Now, that phrase, I don't want you to miss that. Your inner being. God is not just changing our behavior. We talked about this. It's not about, the gospel is not about behavior modification. The Holy Spirit is transforming the inside of our lives. He's transforming our thinking, our attitudes. He's transforming our character. And this process, you need to know, it takes time. It's not overnight. It's going to take a lifetime. And Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, Paul describes it like this. He says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." You see, this is the process of spiritual formation. God gently removes the patterns of our old life, and he begins to replace them with something new. We begin to reflect his love, his character. He increases, we decrease. And often that shaping, it happens in pretty ordinary seasons of our lives, in the lives what we're facing and dealing with challenges, when we're growing You know, it's these moments that come and go that we often overlook when we learn to trust him more deeply. Every day, becoming more and more like him. And the third thing that God does, very important to understand, is that he has created you and I for purpose. Paul doesn't just talk about identity and transformation. He also talks about purpose. Let's jump back again to our series foundational scripture, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what? For good works. That's that process that he's created you for, which God prepared. He prepared this process beforehand, that we should walk in him. That means your life, it has intention. God has prepared good things for us to do in our lives that reflect his kingdom in your world. And so to solidify this idea, Paul encourages us as the church to live out this calling. Ephesians 4, verse 1 says, as a prisoner for the Lord. So this is being written from someone who is under house arrest. He's confined, and he's writing to those that are free. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you who are free, all of us even today, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That process is all about what he's called you to do. Again, notice that word calling. Every believer has one. Not every believer is called to have the same role, but every Christ follower is called to live a life every day that reflects Jesus. And then Paul describes what that life will look like. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Every day, I am seeing how the Lord is still shaping me and bringing these attributes, his character, to be a part of my character. That when my will doesn't want to be patient or gentle or humble, that as I love him and he loves me, I allow the master to do his work because he's still at work doing it. I think sometimes we think our purpose needs to look very dramatic or cinematic, maybe with its own inspiring soundtrack. I know that growing up, that was my reality. But often it looks more like faithfulness. It looks like kindness and serving one another. Looks like encouraging people or praying for someone. What it looks like is living out your faith in everyday life and being strong in his mighty power, like Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 10. It's like spiritual warfare, which we touched on last week and got into when we talked about the armor of God at the end of chapter 6. You know what? True spiritual warfare doesn't always look like battling evil forces or dealing with insurmountable temptation that could destroy us. Sometimes it might look like that. But we're not called to be demon hunters, right? That's not the attitude that we're to pursue. The Apostle Paul is teaching the church that real spiritual warfare, it looks different than sometimes we think. It looks more like loving and respecting your spouse. It means fighting for your marriage. Real spiritual warfare looks like daily praying and fighting for your children and not fighting with them. Real spiritual warfare is honoring your parents and keeping the peace that he puts within your home and within your life. Real spiritual warfare is loving your neighbor. It's loving those that are different than you. It's even loving your enemies. You see, when God shapes our character, our lives naturally begin to impact the world around us. Billy Graham once said, one of the real tests of Christian character is to be found in the lives we live from day to day. You have been created by God with incredible purpose to reflect his love, his hope, and his grace and to answer the call to reflect Jesus in everything that we say and do in this world. And then finally, Paul challenges us to pray for one another. He challenges us to live in peace and unity, and to pray for him, even as the author and apostle, that as a minister, that he too would live the purpose that he was called for. Let's read that together, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verses 18 through 20. It says, and pray in the Spirit. I love to pray in the Spirit. Listen, it's such an active part of my life that I don't even realize I'm doing it. Sometimes I just run out of words to speak on my own. And I just pray in the Spirit, and it's like praying that perfect will of God into any given situation. Pray in the Spirit. Pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray for his church. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. May God help all of us to be bold and to share our faith, to share the good news, to share the hope that has changed you with those that are in desperate need of it, for which I am an ambassador, Paul says, in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. Again, to be bold, as I should. You were created to be bold, to be fearless. That's what Paul is saying. That's what he is encouraging the church to do. And he's encouraging you and I to do the same today. You know what? The message of Ephesians is so encouraging. God begins with grace. He continues with transformation. And he leads us into his purpose. But this purpose, it's ongoing. It's not finished yet. And that's why this verse that we're going to return to one more time as the series come to a close, we're going to end the series how we started the series, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for a purpose, for good works, which God prepared before him, that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. We are his masterpiece in the making. And he is still shaping us, still forming us. He's still at work in your life. And maybe today the invitation is very simple, to stop trying to rush this process all the time and instead trust the one who's actually doing the work within you. And if he hasn't started that work, then that starts with you saying yes and inviting him into your life and saying, Lord, I need you to be the Lord of all. I receive your forgiveness of my sin, and I want to live this purpose. I want to walk in the process that you've called me to. Because God has never abandoned a life he's begun to shape. So let's trust his work that is within each of our lives. Can we pray? Let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone that's hearing the sound of my voice, hearing this message, those that have gathered in this church, those that are joining us online. Father, I pray for each of them. I pray, Lord God, that we would not rush this process. Instead, we would trust you. We would trust the work that you're doing within us. And for those who long for this kind of change, but have been frustrated because of their inability to do it on their own, today I pray for you, that you would recognize your need for a Savior, and that you would pray a prayer that is so simple, a prayer that sounds just like this, and you can pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I need you in my life. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And Lord, I pray that this work would continue within me. Lord, I pray for everyone who's prayed that prayer today for the first time, and those that prayed it perhaps many years ago. Each of us needs to yield to your will and to understand that this process, this building, this work that you're still doing, it takes time. And so, Lord, we trust you. We trust you every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 God's best to you all. Make sure this week you're inviting someone to our Easter celebration. And it all kicks off next week on Holy Week with Palm Sunday. So we'll see you back on Sunday. We can't wait to be with you again. God's best. Have an amazing week.